We got a program today. Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is being aired for April the 17th, 2022. We're going to talk about, the big G, God. Hey, I get more email about me not speaking about God than I get on any other subject. And everybody wants to know why. And usually, you know, I will ignore it here and there. But today I decided to end it all right here, right now. This thing about God and Greg and all of that. I want you to understand, speaking about God to me is blasphemy. I just don't want to speak about it because it's one of those things in life that is unspeakable. It is not something you talk about. God is an experience, not a subject. It is not something you speak about. It's not something you refer to in my life. Now, in my direct experience with it all, I do not have the God in mind that most people would have. And that is a man standing there, maybe with a long beard or whatever, and directing people's lives in mysterious ways and killing people and burning people and controlling their circumstance. It's all ridiculous to me. People praying to God, wanting God to save them or change something and yada, yada, yada. All of this stuff to me is very parochial and pedestrian, to say the least. Like a Buddha, I do not speak of God as a man, a person. I don't know why feminists, the toxic feminine that is so popular now in our culture and society, doesn't get all head up over this, because actually it's pretty chauvinist when you think in terms of Jesus saying our father, not our mother, or our mother, father, or whatever. It just, human beings are trite, petty, parochial, and stupid, basically. So I don't like speaking of God, and I don't believe it does anyone any good. The whole effort to me is to make room for something that is greater than what my imagination, my ego needs. We all have certain needs in our life. We want to follow a leader, and we want that leader to take us to nirvana and the promised land and all of that, like Moses with the Jews and everything. And it just, in the Bible, that is, that it just ridiculous, stupid. We like narrative stories that fascinate our ego and our pride and inaugurate stupidity. So I just don't do that. Okay? Just, you have to understand, the teachings are far more revealing than that. You have to discover what that thing is that people call God, and that's a big part of your life and your big part of your living. So that's my little opening scenario salvo on this. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. The first one comes, question comes from Carol in, San Diego. She writes me and says, you never speak of God in your programs, and then she goes into how much she likes programs, but she says, I'd like to hear you talk more about God. Why don't you? Carol, God is an assumption in people's minds, a pure assumption. Now, if you ask some people about God, they'll say, I don't know. I don't know if there is a God, or I don't know God. Other people will say, oh yeah, I absolutely know God, yada, da, yada, da. They get into all of this stuff of what they believe in and what they don't believe in, and they make up stories that have nothing to do with a direct experience. Until I have had a direct experience with that which is, it is, and that's all I can say, I have only assumption and presumption to talk about. And it does no good for you to hear my experience with something you have only made up in your mind. You have configured it in the form of belief and theory and what you want God to be. And you read a few things in the Bible about this and that. I mean, if you really read the Bible, really, you would see that God is schizophrenic. He's a man. That should bother you, you know, that he's given a gender. He made imperfect people. First, he makes man in his own image and likeness. How vain and silly is that? I mean, that's just the height of being a narcissist. And then he turns around and this thing he created called man gets lonely and needs a woman or something. So God creates a woman out of some spare parts in the man, a rib, and calls it macaroni. It's done. That's the way it is. I personally don't buy any of it, of course, literally. It's a metaphorical kind of experience, but you have to understand the minute God gives man or woman a creation, he also foolishly gives them free will, according to what I've read, and hence all the mischief begins, the war, the poverty, the everything. And it all starts basically when you bring a even to the picture. So you have all this chauvinist stuff. You have all this crazy stuff about men, women, right, wrong, good, bad. Where do you find room for the mystical? Just the presence of something that is beyond the confines, in my case, of the Gregory mind that is always looking for a flesh and blood reality that he can depend upon or that he can believe in. People will do all sorts of foolish things. The Japanese, during World War II, thought that the emperor was perfect, that he was driven by perfection, was perfection, and was absolutely without conflict and was to be followed no matter what, blindly. And they really believed that, and they sent thousands and thousands of people to war, to die for a myth. The emperor peed in a toilet just like you and me, you know? He sat on the toilet and pooped just like you and me. He had a scratch and itch. He was just like any other human being. And yet, we, sight unseen, the Japanese people needed to believe that somehow they had the perfect man, the perfect God, the perfect whatever, and to follow it. This is myth. No one had a direct experience of him, and those that did knew that he was a human being and no better, no less than anyone else. But still, they capped on the whole idea that this guy was for real. Now, when you start looking at it from that point of view, you really start to understand the nature of the human mind. It needs something to believe in because it hasn't found the authentic. So our job in this lifetime is to find that authentic and to live in that authentic and to make it, shall we say, something that we can relate to that has to do with love, compassion, forgiveness. It is more. So why don't I talk about it? I feel, Carol, I talk about it every single day of my life, just not in the form that you would like me to speak of, in the form of God is this, God is that. Jesus said it so well, God is love. He didn't say God is a man, God is superior, God is love. And if you look at it from that point of view, everything I've been talking about, which I say all the time, is about love. And I have been talking about God all these years, just not the way you want to hear it, in the what I call male superior power kind of thing. And I just don't go there because that's not my experience. I hope that helps you, Carol. Please forgive me for everything. Namaste. And the last question. Why or if is there a God? Frank from San Francisco. Why or if is there a God? The why I cannot answer, and nor is it relevant to my experience in life as life. It's just not relative. Why is not there? My human mind would boggle at it all, and I don't even entertain that, probably for two reasons. One, it's futile, because whatever Greg comes up with would be stupid. Whatever Greg would come up with would be futile, and it would be a lie. And number two, it just confuses the issue of the direct experience. How you experience life, how you experience love is what is important, not why or, as you put it, is there, you know, what's the purpose of a God? It's a question that relegates me to my mind and my body and to my imagination, to my very small intellect and my mental acuity. It just does all sorts of really ugly things, and none of those things are kind or loving or productive. So I stay away from intellectual questions that lead me down the road to Greg's already pungent stupidity, and I just don't go there. I have had another experience that is more intimate and touching than that kind of question would arouse. When we are looking for answers through proof, we are dealing with our human bias, our mental emotional bias that we inherited from our mothers and fathers, our ancestry. And with all of that being said, what the hell did they know? I know my family didn't know anything about anything. And frankly, they weren't bright enough to understand, why. The why is just a trick of the trade. It's the trick of the ego. It's the way the ego operates. Prove it to me, prove it to me, prove it to me. And then even if there was proof, which I don't know, what would be sufficient proof? To me, there's more than enough. In a blade of grass, there's more than enough proof for me to be aware and to seek awareness rather than intellectual confirmation that something is happening or something exists that my human ego just can't abide by. So that's where I am with it. I don't look at it like most people do. I look at it as the direct experience is what is important. And can I have that direct experience? Will I allow myself to have a direct experience that is beyond the confines of Greg's beliefs and theories and ideas and ideals? So, Frank, for me, it's about more than proving there is a God. For me, it's about, can I relate to something that is greater than my intellect can abide by? That to me is the whole thing. And frankly, through meditation and constant diligence, yes, I can tell you there is a presence that is greater than our intellect and our perceptions, our assumptions can maintain and hold, just much greater. It is something that few people have the direct experience with, I guess. Although it's available to everybody. I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful question, Frank, and please forgive me. Namaste. That's my weekend. If you have a question for next week, greg@aspire.org. You can always email me. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for being in my life and having the honor and privilege of being in yours. Again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.